Penguin Random House Audio presents Don't Sing at the Table, Life Lessons from My Grandmothers, written and read by Adriana Trigiani.
Introduction. Luck is a wily thing. You can have a run of it, or get hit once and hard with the lucky stick, or luck may always seem like that handsome stranger across a crowded room, completely out of reach, even when you're wearing your best party dress and lipstick. You can see luck when others have it, but you know it's not your turn. Sometimes it appears that luck is a birthright, making someone else's life seem charmed from the outset. Luck is usually seen from a distance, from a place of want. Not so for me. I was truly lucky to have been given two stellar grandmothers, Lucia Spada Bonicelli, called Lucy, and Yolanda Perrin Trigiani, called Viola. They showed me, in their own ways, how to get out of my own way and carve out a fulfilling life. A peaceful life, a gracious life, and a secure life. My grandmothers bestowed on me through their examples the importance of developing character, rooted in kindness, and a spirit that might negotiate loss and rebound from grief to love more deeply. Their hope was that my spirit would serve to reinforce character when I fell short, made mistakes, or hurt someone I cared about through my own actions. For them, faith was the result of working through the spirit and a tool, a means to go inward. In dark moments, when despair kicks joy to the curb, and I feel I don't have it in me to go one more step, I turn to my grandmothers for strength. In my memory are moments, glistening pop beads, the kind I played with as a girl. I string them together now in my mind's eye and hold them close. They are not jewels to keep in a vault, nor ones that would withstand any sort of appraisal. These are functional pearls, iridescent and simple in their beauty, yet indestructible, unbreakable. As I remember my grandmothers, I marvel at how they spent their time and how they chose to fill up the years of their long lives. As women, our time is often ruled by the needs of those around us. But when I picture them, it's never in a crowd, but alone in a window or a doorway. They survived loss and times of deep sorrow, but they would tell you that they were lucky too. They earned their luck by the labor of their own hands and their determination to see a goal through to completion. Lucia and Viola poured themselves into the things they made, whether it was strands of fresh spaghetti or a wedding gown of Duchess satin. They tended their gardens and their children. They built their companies and their relationships. They made time. They made things. They made a life. The life lessons my grandmothers taught me helped me stay the course. And here in this audio program, I hope their wisdom might inspire you too. The past has a patina. Once the colors were bright, and now they have faded. But looking closely now from a distance, the details emerge richer in tone and texture, and ever more lovely in memory. Adriana Trigiani, New York City, 2010. Chapter 1. Viola. Yolanda Perrin Trigiani, Viola, stood at 5 feet 5 inches, but seemed much taller because she was short-waisted and had long legs. In her youth, she wore wide-brimmed hats festooned with peacock plumes and adornments, silk flowers, bands of grosgrain ribbon, velvet berries, making her appear taller still. Even as a girl, she had mature, striking looks and a serious countenance. Her ancestry was apparent in her strong profile, upright posture, and quick stride. "Here comes the Venetian," they'd say when she walked down Garibaldi Avenue in Rosetto, Pennsylvania. Viola's thick, jet-black hair fell in smooth waves. She had a square jaw, a prominent nose with a high bridge, dark brown eyes that were neither large nor limpid, but dark and intense, with a downcast lid. Later in life, she contemplated an eye job when her lids became heavy, and it was difficult to read or to see stitchwork up close, but decided against that surgery. Viola had beautiful lips, straight, strong white teeth, and a wide smile. Think Joan Crawford. My grandfather, Michael, nicknamed Dick, thought his Viola was an Italian version of the stunning movie star. In fact, there was a bit of Hollywood stardust to their early courtship. Their first date was to the movies to see Joan Crawford in Montana Moon. By the way, Viola argued years later that they saw Carolina Moon. When I checked the chronology and told her that Joan Crawford made a movie in 1930 called Montana Moon, my grandmother replied, "I was there. It was Carolina Moon." Oh, well. My grandparents met when they were in their early 20s. He was 4 years older than she, in a pants factory in Bangor, Pennsylvania. Viola was tagged as a leader early on. She excelled as a machine operator, then was promoted to forelady by the age of 16. By the time she met my grandfather, she was a pro, with a few years of management experience under her belt and 50 operators to oversee. Viola mastered every machine on the floor, knew how to get the best out of her operators, and managed them to exceed their numbers and output. Operators that worked under her remember her clear, distinctive voice, which could be heard over the loud buzz of machines in the factory. Viola and Michael's love story was fraught with near misses. My grandfather left for a time and worked in mills as a machinist, first in the Bronx and then in Connecticut. Viola thought she'd lost him for good. But he eventually returned to his hometown of Rosetto, the factory, and to her, and in 1932 they married. Michael Anthony Trigiani had Southern Italian, he was Barese, good looks, dark hair, full lips, and gray eyes. In pictures, he also seems matinee idol handsome to me, but that may be Viola's influence on the subject. Back when she was wooing my grandfather, Viola would make him lunch every day and leave it for him in the pressing room. Those lunches became a theme with her. She made Italian delicacies, small, elegant sandwiches made with roasted peppers or thin-sliced capicola on the best bread, buttered lightly and wrapped in bleached pressed cotton. There were ginger cookies the size of a quarter, or slices of almond-scented pound cake, or oil pretzels, and always fresh fruit, figs, oranges, or a banana. There were thermoses of hot coffee or bottles of cold soda. She thought of everything, utensils, napkins, portable ambiance. The end of the workday, Viola would pick up the empty basket and take it home to repeat the process the next morning. I wondered what my grandfather's co-workers thought when their tough forelady extended this loving and gentle gesture to the man she loved each day. Viola packed lunches throughout her life for all occasions. Hampers loaded for long car trips, goodie baskets left on doorsteps for someone in need, and later on, meals on the go for social excursions, including her gambling runs with her senior girlfriends to Atlantic City. Viola was not a warm, fuzzy character, but she showed her generosity and caring in those picnic hampers. Viola was proud of her homemaking skills, even though she was never exclusively a homemaker. She was a working girl who became a working woman, ultimately co-owning her own blouse factory with my grandfather. A deeper meaning of the partnership was apparent in the name of the company, the Yolanda Manufacturing Company. Her ambition and determination was the engine, the driving force behind the founding of the mill, and the energy field that would sustain it for 26 years. Viola had the guts and the vision to make the leap from dutiful employee to boss. She also
sample complete. Ready to continue?